Greetings, kindred witches. Welcome to this episode of Atomic Witchcraft.
Here we share our experiences as we build a modern-day inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, celestial cycles, and the science of energy.
Join us as we build a craft that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works toward building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us.
Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. Hi everyone, I'm Ash, an atomic witch walking an eclectic road since the 90s.
I'm Alyssa, about 20 years in and growing a mostly green path.
And I'm Jay, new to the practice, composing a bard witchcraft.
Welcome to our grove, here at the Atomic Hearth.
Because witch weaves together many webs, past, present, and future, we'd like to acknowledge that we are currently practicing our craft on the lands of the Coast Salish peoples, specifically the Duwamish, Muckleshoot, and Puyallup tribes.
The Atomic team participates in Real Rent, and we encourage you to engage with and contribute to similar programs in your area.
Now, let's get witchy.
Today we are continuing our Witch Path series, which explores the myriad of ways to build a witchcraft practice. Today is all about the witch paths and the many ways they might manifest. Our Spring Sapling series really focused in on the basics of witchcraft, but now we want to zoom out and talk about the bigger picture. It's important to be clear that these aren't the only paths, or ones that need to be followed step for step. Instead, the hope is to stir some thoughts and curiosity about what your own witch journey might look like.
As we shift into our fifth element, one of spirit, or what we like to call witch, we'll weave our way through a wide array of crafts which dance along, up to, and across some supremely witchy realms. That said, just like for earth, air, fire, and water, we'll stick to our formula, of first giving a bit of an overview of all the different ways that witch element witchery might culminate into a more specialized path. Then we will go back and dig a bit more into each of those specializations. We will talk about what a specialized practice might include, both big and small, key elements to consider in your path, tips and tricks from how we specifically practice, and even ways to incorporate this path in a more private way.
Here in this context, when we are speaking of witch, it's witch with a capital W. Here, witch speaks to that inner part of us that knows our connection to the universe, from its atoms to its land masses. It's the deep inner knowing and being that we all have within us. Many might call this spirit or the fifth element, and whether we choose to encounter this part of ourselves will truly give shape to our witchcraft journey. But I want to again, as always, iterate that each path we discuss is a choice, and choosing to not include something doesn't make you any less of a witch. The exploration of witch will uncover a variety of topics that we don't normally talk about here on the podcast. Everything from deity and fae to curses and hexes. However, atomic witchcraft, an elemental-based practice, and a deeper gaze into the shadowed way should be more familiar topics. We will also include how witch might operate in community, from covens to soup kitchens. In the coming episodes, we will explore the force, the supernatural, a shadowed way, walking widdershins, dancing diosil, and community crafters.
Within the force, we find many paths that are energy-based and intangible in nature. We first bring things down to the molecular level with a revisit to our friend the Atomic Witch, which is what this podcast is all about. With Elemental Witch, we work with a blend of earth, air, fire, and water, this time all together instead of through the lens of separate practices. We bring things into the body with Energetic Healer, someone who uses their field rather than physical ingredients to assist others. Then we round out the force by combining the energetic with visualization as we walk new planes with the astral witch. In the supernatural, we find ourselves working with energy as well, but sometimes it can come with names and forms. Here resides deity, angels and saints, and fae witches, those who walk with and work with allies that are non-corporeal. We then flow to the outdoors in Wilding Witch, where we build deep relationships with elementals, familiars, and nature itself. Finally, we part the curtains with veil walking, bridging into the other worlds or guiding others to explore the unknown.
The shadowed way takes a turn from the veil, entering the darker woods, the ones that border the land of the living and the deceased. Along the edges of this path, the shadow witch engages deeply with shadow work, the exploration of the self and subconscious, They may walk this path alone or lead others. Toiling just within the wood, blood and bone witches work with the elements of life and death itself, understanding the intricate balance between the two. And when the scales tip, the death witch or doulas will be there to greet you, having a deep connection with death, the fates, or the reaper are common here. And whether they aid others spiritually in the passing or work deeply within and around grief and loss, the death witch understands endings and closures. An ancestor witch will focus on those who came before, while a soul witch marks the passage of a single soul through its many physical forms and life cycles. Combining the two, a spectral witch is not afraid to reach out, connect, and work with the shades that walk the veil. Walking Widdershins embraces a path of banishing and release. There are some who consider this a quote-unquote left-handed path, and like others, it's not a path for everyone. However, consider that along this path resides the banishing witch, one who specializes in release, letting go, and frankly just getting rid of the unwanted, be it feelings, things, situations, or even spirits. Standing alongside, a binding witch uses the Widdershin's path to lock things in place, prevent action, and generally batten down the hatches. Now, many witches rely on the idea of the threefold law or karma, but hex and curse witches often take matters into their own hands. This way definitely comes with some warning labels, from unintended targets to accidentally cursing oneself or family. The use of energy funneled by our more destructive emotions to cause harm, disruption, and confusion is a path these witches know well. And a step outside these energies, chaos witches harness the power of unbalanced energies to fuel their workings, always in constant motion, spiraling in and out, reversing directions, walking Widdershins into Dancing Deicil.
The path of Dancing Deicil spins energy inward. It's a path of finding what's lost, dowsing to guide, and of luck witchery, turning the day around. The protection witch safeguards, the attraction witch draws in, and the unbinding witch sets loose and free. These are just a few ways that one might dance this path, a dance of desire, prosperity, and good fortune made manifest. And for the witch whose duty is to the humans around them, the community crafter's path aims to better the world's societies and bonds. The advocate witch spreads the impact of untold stories, raising awareness. And the justice witch takes a stand to uphold right and wrong. The bridge builder forges and reforges bonds between those who need to most. And the guide witch opens the way where discernment and purpose eludes those who seek it. The village witch crafts across the many ways humanity grows and thrives together, while the coven crafter cultivates a clan of close magical bonds. The very opposite of a solo practice, community crafters are witches with others solidly in mind. And while each path is unique, here are some things to keep in mind that might be helpful in getting started. A practice with witch at its core will require a different kind of focus than our other elemental centers that we've been covering. Tapping into witch is a work rooted deep into the essence and energy of the soul within. And so, at its most basic, it requires an openness to go deep. And if we're totally frank here, a willingness to suspend disbelief a bit. This is not the water, dirt, wind, and heat that you can feel on your skin. It's not something that can be measured in grams or gallons or kinetics. To work a path with witch at its foundation requires a willingness to dive in deep with your heart, mind, and soul, and truly, with faith. Faith is a funny word to utter here for me. As for those who've been listening here for a bit, you'll know that I come from a pretty extensive religious background in Christian denominations. But it's this practice in faith that honestly has given me so many tools to be prepared for working with witch and having the willingness to let go in order to let witch connect with you. I know that sounds a little deity-ish. Instead, I like to think of tapping into witch as tuning my inner radio receiver to an extra special energetic frequency. On any given day, our moods, emotions move us to and fro through various levels of awareness and depth. Sometimes the frequency is one on autopilot, daydreaming while our muscles do something mundane. And in other moments, the channel we're on is a sharp, focused, and perhaps headache-inducing one to make sure we write that email correctly. Tapping into witch, by comparison, is a unique frequency outside the range of our normal AM/FM bands. When the invisible fields of energy we swim are suddenly illuminated in our minds. When we're tuned into that, well, that's when the most magical possibilities here can truly come to life.
Ah, witch. With these paths, we lean a little bit away from the science-based witchcrafts into something a little more mysterious and intangible in nature. As Jay said, that bit of faith comes in at points here, or a suspension of disbelief, and a willingness to explore the strange and unusual. I know for me personally, things in my life got weird once I started diving into the craft. And with some of these paths, things may get extra kooky. Or with our community-based paths, it may be about being seen by others and even leading, which can be a whole other challenging area. Being grounded in yourself and your practice is key to walking the witch's path. For me, witch and connecting to it is about listening. Which is that voice in the back of my head that tells me to turn left? Or which card to draw? Or what to say in spell work? It can be a word of warning that you don't quite understand but choose to heed. The impulse to buy a specific crystal. Or the need to text an old friend. It's instinct, but on a deeper level, and one that I haven't always been able to explain the why of. It's that inner part that is connected to something bigger, older, and more universal. So for me, walking a path rooted in witch is about learning to listen to that unseen voice, and most importantly, trusting it.
That unseen voice is actually pretty key for me as well, and sometimes it's less of a voice and more of an intuition. It comes up when I give space to truly be present and connect with the world around me in that moment of time, as though tuning into the world also tunes me into the witch within. And while my brain really needs the science to ground my practice, the witch inside me knows there's more to it. The more I lean in, the more my craft leans back. So for me, it's about striking that balance in a way that facilitates my exploration of the craft. For me, I connect most with witch in the stillness of self, when I get below the buzz of the mind and body into the sense of self that understands. Because for me, witch is the self, connected to a deep understanding or knowing of this amazingly intricate yet entirely accidental cosmic experience. The beauty and knowing that we are both small and yet infinite in our beings, it also ties me inexplicably to the environment around me, city, street, or nature creek. The awareness of tapping into the larger web. Then learning how to pluck a string to make change. Like understanding a system from a deeper level, our use and ability to move within the paradigm begins to flow more easily. Paths open, and we are left with opportunity. Now, I know some witches will lean into their path by getting their hands and feet dirty, immersing themselves in the world around them. Others will prefer a more ceremonial approach, often looking to create bridges between the seen and unseen. Some like to do something in between. This is where you get to pick what works for you, no matter how you engage with your craft.
Like our coverage of air, fire, and water, witch walks down six paths. And really, we probably could have kept going, so don't limit yourself here. While our four series based in the elements of earth, air, fire, and water had a lot of tangibility, the force introduces our first mostly energetic path, from healing to working in the astral or atomic and tapping into the elements, we encounter practices that are more ethereal in nature. We begin down at the molecular level with a revisit to the atomic witch. This path taps into the energy that is all around us, from our own bodies to the trees and rivers and out to the furthest reaches of space. Next in the force, we find the elemental witch. This is one who taps into earth, air, fire, water, some aspect of everything we've touched on so far. The elemental practice is the accumulation and blending of these energies, kind of along the lines of the Avatar from the animation of the same name. The energetic healer is one who relies on their own force field and how it interacts with another person's, commonly using practices such as Reiki. This differs from the healer in our water series, who uses tangible methods like tinctures and wraps, but there's no reason someone who walks the healer path can't use both. For our final path in the force, we shift planes from the body to somewhere just outside with the astral witch. Whether that's engaging in meditation, doing spell work, or meeting with ancestors, those who walk this path find themselves most comfortable working in their astral home, and perhaps exploring a bit beyond. From the Force, we take a slight shift as we travel down the path of the supernatural. These practices build off the energies encountered previously, but really hones in on some specific practices and even encounters beings. Working with deities, angels, fae, or elementals and familiars, and walking the veil to pierce the unknown all fall under the supernatural. While we do consider this a deity-free practice, we would be remiss not to talk about our fellow deity witches. This is a path for those who feel a desire to work with this variety of non-corporeal beings, whether that's calling upon one or more to assist in spell work, or even dedicating an altar or practice to a deity. In a similar realm, we find ourselves walking with other divine beings, this time in the shape of angels and saints. This path works with these entities often with specific focuses in mind, such as protection or safe travel. The angel and saint witch knows that this practice doesn't need to come with organized religion attached, but rather can stand all on its own. From heavenly beings, we now turn to the hills where we discover the fae witch. From working with them in the craft to leaving offerings to keep them happy, this path holds a special connection to the good folk. Many cultures around the world have fae in some form or another, from the Shi of Ireland to the elves of Nordic tradition and the Yosei of Japanese folklore. It is important to keep in mind that some of these cultures hold working with the fae as a living practice, and therefore appropriation should be avoided. Moving along, we shift from the unknown to elementals, familiars, and more with the Wilding Witch. This path holds a high-level connection to nature and all that lies within. This is about building deep relationships with the wild world, being in many ways accumulation of the Earthcrafts. And finally, we end our journey with the supernatural, with one who lives comfortably between worlds as a veil walker, traveling amidst this world and the next, seeing betwixt realms, and even guiding others there as well. This path is for those that are comfortable in uncharted territory.
Walking the veil embraces the unknown, and along this path, a fork in the road that leads into the wood, the dark wood, where the shadowed way leads us from our deepest subconscious through death and back again. This path is not for the faint of heart, and is one that requires an internal resilience and appreciation for the cycle of life and death. Along the edges of the forest walks a shadow witch, exploring the depths of the personal subconscious. Here, these witches explore our deepest desires, experience, connections, needs, and more. It's an exercise in becoming comfortable living in self-awareness and constant self-construction. These witches may focus on their own path or guide others. Where the light and shadow intertwine, dancing a bit deeper in the wood, we find witches who specialize in the essence of life and death, the blood and bone witches. Using these potent tools, witches understand the turning of the wheel of life and how blood and bone give way. And as it does, there in the deep shadow of full cover, the transcendence into darkness, the death witch weaves a craft of endings. Here along this route, death doulas and other practitioners whose focus is on the passing of life gather to honor the turning of the wheel, guiding the living and dead as they cross over. As one of the bridge walkers, soul witches lean into their personal journey of the soul and its physical forms, whether it's through connecting others to their past lives or just deeply exploring their own journey. This witch bridges the gap in the evolution of our souls. And there, sitting vigilance at the bridge, the ancestor witch holds space and honor for those that came before, lighting candles for blood, land, and soul ancestors. A connection that fosters communication of wisdom and an understanding of the past, a way for souls to process and pass on that which transforms them. Another of the bridge walkers, spectral witches not only work across the veil, but may help shades find their way to the ancestor or soul witches who can help them process their grief, their passing, and whatever is holding them back. These conduits work deeply along the shadowed way. And when it's time to let go, release, and banish, we might turn to witches walking widdershins. Some crafts in this path may not value align with everyone, but consider that this quote-unquote left-handed path has a bit more depth than just hexing your ex or cursing the patriarchy. The energy here is potent, drawing from a well of deep emotion, often destructive. Here, more than ever, being aware of the risks and consequences will be key. The Atomic Team also doesn't endorse harming others or impacting free will. In its most basic and harmless form, a banishing craft focuses on release and dispel. Perhaps you are more of a sunset autumn type witch, and manifesting just has never really worked for you. Well, your instincts may actually lean more towards letting go and release, then letting life fill in what's missing. This craft embraces that path of release and even taking a more grounded sense, not just letting go, but sending things away. Sometimes letting go isn't enough, and we need to give things a bigger push, setting boundaries and saying no. Banishing witches know the power of drawing the line. And when the problem or situation persists, binding witches and crafts offer an opportunity to still the energy and prevent harm. While the Atomic Team strongly believes in free will, we also understand how binding a situation sometimes becomes the most useful tool in our arsenal. Please always seek out real help and assistance for any sort of violence or abuse. Magic is a nice assist, but it's not the solution. And when help doesn't arrive, Hexcraft specializes in delivering that quick magical punch in the face. It's the trip on your shoelaces, spill coffee on your favorite shirt, don't get the job sort of energetic blast. One-off, temporary, and often low-caliber, Hexcraft is one that shows up even when we don't intend it to, in the way we interact and use our energy around others. Hex witches know the power of the word, sigil, and deed, finding ways to create impactful reminders of boundaries overstepped. Cursecraft takes things a step further, and because of that, is often much more unpredictable. In fact, curses are often born of the victims themselves in moments of great pain and anguish, only to be embedded in the DNA and passed on to future generations. Witches who walk this path specialize not only as architects, but also in identifying and dispelling this unwanted energy. And then there are the Chaos Witches, who relish in the frazzled and unbalanced energies that ride the wave of the universe. Here, Chaos Witches use the chaotic energy that surrounds us, and truly anything else they want, to fuel their workings. It's a great practice for those witches who maybe struggle with the stillness of witch. Chaos magic will embrace that inner chaos to fuel your workings and tie you into the chaotic nature of the untamed cosmos. It is here, between walking Widdershins and dancing Deosil, that a Chaos Witch works best.
The path of dancing Deosil corrals a variety of ways to gather what you're wanting. These are crafts which tap into that energy of witch to attract, find, and release, specifically in your direction. A finding witch specializes their skills and efforts around retrieving what's missing. Similarly, though a bit different, a dowsing witch helps to find the way to the unfound. In either case, these are crafts which utilize tools, signals, and intuition to pick up on pathways and signals for locating what you're most looking for. If it's a turn of events you aim to conjure, then a luck witch craft could be your golden ticket. This witchery leans into chance and randomness for your manifestation goals, landing that rare but perfect parking spot just when you need it. For a focus on finding or creating safe passage, then that's a practice in protection witchery. This craft works with the energy of witch to build protective fields and wards, which infuse the space and world around you with safety. If instead the focus is manifesting a vision of intent, this is the attraction witch's specialty, something we've talked about a lot in this podcast. From career goals to romantic ones to abundance of many flavors, a practice in this work connects your hopes with the ritualistic patient work to make your plan what you aim. Or perhaps you wish to loose the bonds of what you desire. The unbinding witch uncages and unties to release things home to where you need them. The Community Crafters organizes crafts connecting with others, building on bonds and furthering causes. The Advocate Witch uses craft and connection to speak out, focusing on cutting through the noise to illuminate the needs of their cause. Similarly, the Justice Witch builds their work around awareness as well, but the focus is instead on the struggle for equity and clarity of innocence or guilt. These practitioners are likely working or involved in the worlds of nonprofits, policymaking, and courtrooms, or perhaps wield their magics like an energetic megaphone for their message. From rallying the masses, we shift now to more specific social ties, where the Bridge Builder, which acts as mediator where division dwells, Whether it's between individuals, small groups, or even much larger coalitions, they weave their workings to empower the work of compromise and understanding to help manifest a shared road forward. Where mentorship and guidance is the focus, the practice of a guide witch is built to support those finding their way. This could certainly be in guiding fellow witches in their magical pursuits, but also could be the practice of someone who works as a counselor, coach, or boss, or even teacher. For the witch whose craft aims to provide this kind of support to the collective of their whole community, the village witch shapes their craft to strengthen the work and possibilities for their neighbors and neighborhoods. These witches tend to be staples of their town or borough, involved locally and aware holistically. And if the practice of this kind is purely tuned to the close-knit weave of one grove, the coven craft witch works to build and cultivate the power of their own witch's haven. Ritual building and group practice make this a practice rich with complex and creative ways to work all kinds of magic together in a safe space of fellow friends of the craft. With all these options on the table, how do you know if a witch path is for you? And specifically, which one?
As we've stated before, choosing to explore a path is a very personal process, usually involving a lot of trial and error and introspection. With the witch paths, this also requires an examination of what you're comfortable practicing and how it sits in alignment with your morals. We mentioned, and will go into more detail in future episodes, practices like blood and bone work, curses, angels, and these areas can be challenging for folks, or straight up unappealing. If you don't want to engage with these crafts as you're exploring what path is best for you, don't feel like you have to. No one is going to revoke your witch card if you choose not to engage with hexes or deities. These practices are also great for those who are less inclined to live in more elemental or earthy realms, and who prefer a more esoteric or occult approach to witchcraft. If you find that you have this inkling as well, exploring a witch path may be a great next step on your journey. Maybe you find that you really click with ancestor work, or find that playing the role of the village witch really fulfills your magical soul. Or maybe it's a combination of a few. Many paths complement each other well and can be practiced hand in hand, like veil walking and divining. Some of these practices may seem a bit daunting due to their nature, but don't let this intimidate you away from exploring and playing around.
Once more, my favorite method here is the Socratic, asking questions to explore what's true or not. And so for witch, some great questions might be, when do you feel powerful, connected, in touch with something beyond yourself? These witch-based paths offer some particular answers to these questions. When connecting with unseen energetic worlds, when encountering and channeling otherworldly presences and beings, or when working with fields of protection or powers of manifestation, just to name a few. That said, your answers don't need to match up neatly with what we've managed to organize here. The thing about a witch path is it's going to not just be incredibly personal and specific for you, but it truly will be living in a place that you and you alone only can understand and experience. Of course, all that vagueness said, if what drives you and feels most magical are the intangible things, the things that seem the most unknowable and unbound, the ones that seem to operate on their own whole level of existence, then that too might be a really good sign that this kind of focus is a really good fit for you.
And I want to acknowledge that for many who listen to this podcast specifically, for its more science-based nature, these paths may not be something that speak deeply with you, and that's okay. In many ways, witch is an exploration of our true selves and natures, whether it's focused on the spicy psychology aspect or asks for a bit of belief in the unknown. How you approach this wheel is up to you. For me, like many, witch has always just come with an inner sense of knowing and connection. In more recent years, I have been able to more directly lean into my craft, and with that, of course, has come a better understanding of self, allowing my practice and life to become more deeply intertwined. Ultimately, I would say that working with the witch within is for anyone ready to embrace the work, the journey, and the transformation that comes with walking a witch's road.
And while some crafts come more naturally than others, like all things, practice will always improve skill, even innate skill. That's why the elements, including witch, are recurring themes across the witch's wheel cycles. It's a consistent building upon skill and relationship.
In the sapling cycle, which you can check out in our sapling playlist for more specifics, we start with the basics of working with witch, covering the basics of astral work, meaning the witch within, a general sense of occult practices and history, ancestor work, and energy work, at its simplest. In the fledgling cycle, we try new and deeper work in astral, ancestor, and energy areas. We invite witch in and learn about deity practices, ritual building, and birth ceremonies. In ember, we're living as witch, now working with ease in astral worlds, expanding ceremony work to include life unions, and leveling up our energy work, deity knowledge, and encountering the fae. In the river wheel turn, we're becoming witch, with the astral as a second home, fine-tuning our practice, and further advancing with energy, deity work, fae work, and adding death ceremonies to our practice. And then, as the wheel cycles into witch, it's a moment of culmination, with a full breadth of experience as your foundation. Not as a destination, but rather a completeness of being through which even further specializing and mixing can continue to chart your way, finding and following the paths most right for you.
Did you know Atomic Witchcraft isn't just a podcast? It's a community. You can find us on Patreon, Discord, Facebook, and more. We are also excited to announce the return of our free virtual Zoom gatherings, our Sunday Havens, happening on the fourth Sunday of every month at noon Pacific. All this great info can be found on our Linktree. Link is in the bio. Let's be witchy together.